Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
So, we are going to be jumping back into Acts chapter 10. So, if you could, go to Acts chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. We'll be continuing, so we stopped in verse 34, and so that's where we'll pick it back up. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, I'm so blessed and so honored, God, that like we're able to come together and we're able to be a family and we're all able to come here to hear from you, to get closer to you and to hear your voice, God. So I pray that let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be holy and completely acceptable unto you. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And may your Holy Spirit be here tonight, God. We love you, and in Jesus' name, amen. In the late 1960s, there was a woman by the name of Jackie Pollinger. She had just graduated university with a major in oboe, which is something like a clarinet. Truthfully, I don't know the difference between the two. But she graduated in Britain, and she had this calling or this heart for the people of Hong Kong. And so she, because she had a major and she actually had a bachelor's in something, she felt this desire to work in the world, but she also had this like deep longing desire to, let me turn on my timer really quick. Sorry about that. Start. There we go. Okay, cool. So I don't go over time. But she also had this desire to reach these people of Hong Kong. Now, in the late 1960s, under British rule, Hong Kong was under British rule. So she could go in and out because she was a British citizen. Now, her minister, because she was hemming and hawing and trying to figure out what she should do, go one way or go the other way. And her minister told her, well, why don't you just buy a boat ticket? And wherever you feel God tells you to get off, just get off. And so that's what she did. And she ended up feeling this longing, this calling, and this desire to get off in Hong Kong. Specifically, she went to what's called the Kowloon Walled City. And if you've ever seen movies like Blade Runner or any post-apocalyptic movies, a lot of the aesthetics of the Kowloon Walled City are based, or excuse me, a lot of the aesthetics of those movies are based off of this Kowloon Walled City. Now, the city originally, all of Hong Kong was taken over by British rule, except for this one specific spot, who was, this king was in charge. And when that king died, he had no heirs. And because of that, a lot of drugs and crime and people who wanted to get away from the law simply moved to this area. And so people started to stack on top of each other something like 20, 30 stories of these like shanty towns. And it became a place ridden with crime, poverty, prostitution, and drugs, and specifically heroin. And this is where this woman from Great Britain went to because she felt this calling and this tug in her heart. And even to this day is still witnessing and evangelizing to those people in Hong Kong. And that'd be a good place to end that story because she is still like thriving and driving. But there was a point in that when she felt exhausted, burnt out, and didn't know what to do. So I'll stop that there and we'll come back towards the end. Now, picking up in Acts 10, So if you weren't here when we were talking about Acts 10, it's the story of the meeting between Cornelius and Peter. Now, Cornelius was a Gentile of the Gentiles. He was an extremely devout man who prayed to God continuously and gave alms generously, it says. And this, spoiler alert, this man will be the very first Gentile converted and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so if there's any non-Jews here, this is where you can trace your spiritual lineage back to, is this man specifically. For before this, before this, from Moses to this specific meeting, no non-Jew had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Picking up in Acts 10, verse 34. We'll go there. Actually, let's pull it back to verse 30. Yeah, let's start in verse 30. Cornelius said, speaking to Peter, 4 days ago I was praying in my room about the same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, I'll be reading from the NLT, so if there's some translation differences, that's where they're coming from. Suddenly, a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore. So I sent for you at once, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. Verse 34. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did through Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us, whom God has chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, and he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one that the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. And even as Peter was saying this, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to them being baptized, now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders to them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. This is the very first time. Oh, it's the fulfillment of prophecy. We see in Genesis, when Abraham and God are talking to each other in Genesis 22:18, it says, let's see, and through your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. And so we see that we see this fulfillment literally right here in Acts chapter 10. So a small bit of background between Cornelius and Peter, in case you weren't here prior, is Cornelius was praying one day at about 3 p.m. And as he's praying, an angel appears to him and says, your prayers and your alms have been heard. Now go send for a man named Peter. And I find it interesting that an angel actually appears to Cornelius and says, hey, go get this guy. The angel didn't tell him about Jesus. He had Peter do it. It's our job to tell people about Jesus, not angels. And then we also see with Peter, as he is praying, that a vision comes to him. It's about noon and he's hungry, and so he sees this vision of the sheep coming down out of the heavens, and inside are all these animals, snakes, things with cloven hooves, pigs, anything that's unclean. And the voice says, Peter, go eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord, For since my youth, I have never eaten anything that was unclean. And that voice says, do not call what I have called clean, unclean. And this happens three times, and I think right about the third time that it clicks. Like Peter goes, oh my gosh, this is Jesus. And he's telling me, do not call what I have deemed clean, unclean. And that's you and me. God has called us clean. If you believe in Jesus Christ, Acts 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart, then you're saved. And through that, through Jesus' work on the cross, we are clean. Starting in verse 34. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened through Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. I find this interesting. So where Peter and where Cornelius are right now is in a city called Capernaum, something like 75 miles away from Jerusalem. And I don't know why I'd thought of this, but I just assumed because a man was out in the desert preaching about the coming of Christ that was kind of an isolated incident, and no one really knew about it. And then Jesus came, and he kind of did his small three-year ministry, was crucified, and it was the apostles that went out and started preaching. But that's not true. We see that all the way up in the north in Capernaum, give or take about 70 miles away, that news of what had happened, even with John the Baptist, where John the Baptist began saying, hey, the Messiah is coming, the one that all the prophecies are about has come. We see that that news has reached Cornelius, his friends, and his family. And I don't know, I speculate, but perhaps that's why Cornelius was diligently praying. I'm not sure. But we also see in, let's see, verse 37, you know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so what Peter is doing here is he is taking what is common knowledge, and then he's proceeding to reveal. And it's actually really interesting. You see, if Cornelius knew that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and that Jesus was doing these miracles, like, this was a very large event. And I think it's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a guy out in the parking lot over here, something like 11 o'clock at night. And he had a Jewish background and highly revered Jesus as a great teacher. He said, I love the teachings of Jesus, and I think that he's good, but Paul didn't quite understand him and this whole religion thing, and there's no way that Jesus could be God. There's no way that God, man is God, is what his argument was. And it's true. Like, what a crazy thought. In our postmodern culture, we often see that we like to ascribe these great men almost demigod status. Gandhi would be a good example. Martin Luther King would be a good example. Buddha, Confucius. And oftentimes when we raise these people up, we also bring Jesus down into that level where Jesus was just a great man. Like, I don't know a single person that doesn't think the golden rule is a good idea. But where a lot of people stop is, who do you say that I am? Jesus is God. And let's see. And as we go through that, we'll be seeing a little bit more about it all. Shoot, where was I going with that? And that's kind of the linchpin with all of this. Who do you say Jesus is, and what do you do with that? Verse 38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did through Judea and in Jerusalem, They put him to death by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us, whom God has chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. And so we're going from the known knowledge to the unknown knowledge into the revealed knowledge. And so we see in this, oftentimes, a good way to tell the difference between a cult in kind of Christianity is that there will often be this like sacred unknown knowledge, and only by coming and being a part of the of this fellowship can you understand truly what's going on. We can see that in certain Christian cults, and we can also see that in Scientology. But what we have here, and what's so crazy and cool about Jesus, about Christianity, about the move of the Holy Spirit, is that we want everyone to know what Jesus has done and what we're supposed to respond to. We see that as Jesus appears to the apostles, that there's a response. We see that because he shows himself to these apostles, they are then ordered to preach everywhere to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, that Jesus is God. And that's the same for us. We see that because God has revealed himself to us, that we have a duty and we have a calling. We're supposed to go out into the world and to preach the gospel. And I think that's scary for me. That's kind of terrifying. I mean, I can do this and I can be among a host of believers and I can talk about Jesus. I can talk shop with the boys. But if I'm not going out and I'm not producing works, then my faith is dead. See, we have a responsibility. And in that responsibility, there is weight, but it's not... It's an interesting balance, because there's weight, but it shouldn't be scary. I talked earlier about Blade Runner and post-apocalyptic movies, and I love that stuff. I'm a huge like noir buff. Like, absolutely love some like cold, emotionless guy like working out a mystery, and people are dying. Oh, I could gush about it for hours, and when I see a movie, I go and I talk to my friends about it. I say, hey, have you seen this movie? And it's not like this, I'm excited because I'm gushing. I'm overflowing about these movies that I've seen, and I'm just telling people because it's important in my life, and I think they would enjoy it too. And I think that as we go out into the world, that we should be gushing about Jesus. Earlier this morning, we sang about, give me that first love, that first flame. Is that it? What is it? Yeah, the first love, the first flame. Like, there is this, like, when you first came to Jesus, there was this ecstatic, abounding love. Like, that's all you could talk about. I remember, because I was saved at a really early age. And I remember stories of like being in the elevator and someone else comes in and I'm with my mom and like I say, hey, do you love Jesus? Like, and it just was everything that I was about. And I think that as, you know, as the weight of the world looms on us and like that beautiful like time where we've recognized the love of Jesus, it kind of goes into the past and we just kind of forget about it and the weight of the world kind of comes on us, then when we're told, hey, we need to go out and preach the gospel, we're scared. Like, I'm scared. Oftentimes, I feel like a cup, like a little white styrofoam cup. And in it's just a little bit of water. And I'm always pouring out just a little bit. And so I end up empty. So as I like, but if I'm not overflowing, and I'll talk about that here in a second, but if I'm not overflowing, then eventually I will end up drained, dried, and tired, wore out. Verse 42, and he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sin forgiven through his name. Praise God. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to them being baptized, now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit and about what happens when the Holy Spirit shows up. We see oftentimes, both historically and, biblically historically too. Yeah, historically, just in general. We see that whenever God is beginning a new work, oftentimes there'll be a stamp of approval from God. And that's often with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We see that at Pentecost in Acts 2 and 3, where people are suddenly start speaking in other tongues. And we see Peter, as he is being completely overflowing with the Holy Spirit, that he starts preaching and 3,000 people are saved, are headed to the church that one day. That's insane. 3,000 people. That's a work of the Holy Spirit through and through. And we see here that when the Gentiles, who nobody knew, later on in history, we'll see that there were these people called the Judaizers who said, hey, we get that Gentiles can be saved, but you need to follow the customs and you need to follow the rules of the first covenant. And so there's kind of like the crushing of the Holy Spirit there. But we also see in these movements, but we see here that the Holy Spirit, that we see that God approves of what's happening. There's no law that you have to follow in order to be a Christian. Heck, you don't even see them saying the sinner's prayer. They simply believed that Jesus was God. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, then you'll be saved. That's it. And we actually see that through certain revivals. We see that in the Azusa Street Revival in the early 1900s, and even Calvary Chapel. In the very beginning, there was a huge outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts were abounding. And it's often a stamp of it's a stamp of approval from God saying, hey, this is good. I'm here. Let's see. Responsibility to preach. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, we'll get back to there in a second. No, let's talk about it now. And so we see in all of this that there's this overflowing of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to talk about. The difference between striving and trying and simply living with God and living with the Holy Spirit and living with Jesus in this overflow and this outpouring. I used to live in this house off of Beach in Edinger, and it was affectionately termed the guy's house. And there was this small sapling that was chopped down, and then one of my buddies came and trimmed it and started to grow. And that was about 5 years ago, and I still don't know. I know it's a citrus tree, but I don't know what type of citrus it is, if it's orange, if it's lemon, if it's pomelo. And I don't really know what the fruit is. But every time I go over there, I look at the tree and I don't say, hey, tree, how's it going? And the tree's like, ah, like, it. That's not what's happening. The tree is growing and they're starting to show fruit. And we see that every fruit tree doesn't try and strive to create fruit. Fruit just happens. There's no striving. It just comes out of the abundance of it being a tree. So Caleb, I don't really speak in tongues. I don't really believe in tongues. I don't really know if that's a thing. And I definitely didn't know for a while. In fact, I grew up Baptist. And I didn't believe that any of the gifts were real, like at all. And it wasn't until, it wasn't until like literally being proven otherwise by God that I actually believed that they were real. I don't speak in tongues. How do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? Well, you by your fruit. We know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, and self-control. I get those last two mixed up. And if you are striving to be loving, joyful, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, if you're striving to be those things, then you might not have the Holy Spirit. But if you can look in your life 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and if you can see a difference and you know it's just happened as you are abiding in the Word, in the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, if you're abiding, then you're growing. Then you have the Holy Spirit. And that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit and the whole kind of styrofoam cup thing that I talked about a little bit ago. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit in three different contexts. You have para, epi, and en. So para means with. So oftentimes we know that man is dead in his sins, and that no man seeks after God, no, not one. But there's a time when the Holy Spirit comes alongside you and shows you that you need God. It's there that the scripture is called para, or with. The Holy Spirit starts to be with you. And it's when you recognize and when you realize that you need Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is God, that the Holy Spirit then comes inside of you. And then finally, there's also epi. Let's see, so para, en means in, epi is upon. Then there are certain times when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we see a lot of this in the book of Acts, because this is kind of the highlights reel of the church. We see that every single time a miracle is performed, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit comes upon someone, and then the works of God is produced through that person. So going back, oftentimes I feel like a little styrofoam cup that's only a little bit full of water. And about 2 years ago, I got extremely burnt out. I was just done. I felt that I need to do so much in order to be good with God, that I need to pour out whenever someone asked me for something. I need to just give it to that person. And I ended up dry, shriveled, and kind of bitter, very burnt out. And I stepped away. From serving for a little bit just to try and figure it out. And it's because I was doing everything in my own strength. I was striving for love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, and self-control. I was striving, trying my best to be a good person. And that never works out, does it? So, you're empty, or you on the fringe, you're burnt out. I don't want to date this talk, but you see, this past year has just kind of been insane. I'll just leave it at that. And it's very easy to be burnt out if we're continuing on in our own strength. Super easy. And so we see that are you constantly jumping into the Word? Are you constantly asking God for help? Are you constantly saying, God, I need you? Are you constantly asking Him? Are you praying to Him? So with a little cup, we see, I'm empty. You know, I can have a spout right next to me, but if I am empty, then it doesn't matter how much I pour out. I just won't have much. And then we see that as the Holy Spirit comes in, my cup becomes full, but that can easily be poured out. And then what? See, here's the thing. If we are not underneath the flow of the Holy Spirit, we cannot be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. We cannot be outpouring. And we need God. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. It's not by our own strengths that we're good. It never was. It's by grace, not by works that we're saved. The whole thing is all grace from Jesus. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. It's all God. So are we underneath that faucet? Are we underneath that fountain? Are we constantly overflowing? Are we gushing with our love for Jesus? I want to be. Dang it, I want to be. And there's a lot of like practical things that you can do. I talked about them back when we were first talking about the first chapter of 10, like, you know, constantly being in the Word, constantly praying. Like, there's lots of good things you can do. And because I'm a bit of a list guy, I like to make little to-do lists. And so I'll start like, okay, pray to God, read the Bible, work out, eat breakfast, make coffee. Read the Bible, make like it, there is a list that I have to speak, and like I often go and I check off like, okay, talk to God, we're good, all right, prayed, good. And that's not how it should be. That's also a way to burn out. When I'm talking about God, God shouldn't even be on a list. God is the one above all, and truthfully, we should get that list from what He tells us. So are we doing that? Are we growing? Are we abiding in the stream? Are we constantly asking God, please fill me with your Spirit? God, I need you. Jackie Pollinger, toward the middle of her ministry, was burnt out, completely down. Desperate and didn't know what to do, because even the joyful Pentecostals that she was around were kind of down and quiet and very to themselves, and there wasn't much fruit anywhere. And then there was a small Chinese couple that came and performed worship, and they had something that Jackie wanted. She was like, guys, where does your joy come from? And they said, well, have you asked for the Holy Spirit? And there's a book, I have it. It's called Chasing the Dragon. It's by this missionary. I highly recommend it. It literally is like another book of Acts and changed a lot of things in my life. But it's just good in general. But it wasn't until she was fully relying on God, fully relying on the Holy Spirit, that she was able to pour out into others. So are we doing that? Like a cell phone, are we constantly being plugged in and charged? Are we constantly asking God for help? Because if we're not, that's going to be burnout. Verse 44. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. All who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out to these Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Yeah, I wanted to talk about that really quick. Often when we're talking about a true outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to point people to God. It will always be praising God. So that's kind of the difference that you can tell if someone is misusing gifts or using gifts, they're using what seem to be gifts, is are they pointing people to Jesus? Are they praising God? The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to point people to Jesus, to grow people in Jesus. It's all the work that Jesus has done, and it is nothing about me. It's never about building myself up to show how holy I am. Anyway, so that's kind of the way that you can tell the difference between those two. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized, now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. It's inferred here that Cornelius and his family and his friends were being taught, were growing. That's kind of the thing. When we have that first flame, are we growing in our love and our respect and our this genuine joy with God? Because it's, what is it? Like, we have that first love, but it's much like a relationship. There's like that first year and a half, 2 years where, yes, we, like, there's that infatuation period. And if it stays there, like, that's great, but are we falling more in love with the person of Jesus Christ? Are we falling more in love with God? Are we falling more in love with the Holy Spirit? Are we growing closer? A good kind of litmus test to see if you are growing closer with God is if you're constantly kind of looking forward toward the future, or if you're remembering in the past, like, oh, remember when God did this? Remember when God did this? And there's a little bit of a difference between, like, looking in the past, we're like, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say, like, were you holier back then? Because that's not the thing. But, like, were you seeing God move more in the past than you're seeing God move now? And that's a really good litmus test to see if your growth is growing, your love is growing. So, let's see here. So I'm going to have a couple of people come up, and I'm going to start to close here. So if you need prayer and if you need the Holy Spirit, we're just going to have a time, just a little bit of extra long worship. And so as we're doing that and as we're being here, like, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you want to grow in your love with Jesus? One thing I did want to say that, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, like, come up and ask, and it might happen. But if it doesn't happen, what you have done is you've grown in your faith. Are you growing in your faith with Jesus Christ? Are you taking that step and saying, Jesus, I want, love you. I need more of you. Please, God, come. What is it? The prophet Samuel, when he was a little kid, was sleeping, and there was a voice that said, "Samuel, Samuel," and he kept running to Eli, his teacher, because he thought it was Eli. It happened two or three times, and Eli finally realized, because he kept getting woken up in the middle of the night, like, "Oh wait, no, this is God." So Samuel, what I want you to do is say, "What is it, Lord? For your servant is here," or something to the effect of that. And are we saying that? Are we listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Are we listening to God? And are we saying, "What is it, God? Your servant is here." Yesterday, I had a chiminea, or I had a fire in a chiminea. And there was a piece of cardboard behind it, and as the flame grew, it actually burst that piece of cardboard into flames, and I almost caught my deck on fire. I think about that, and I think about kind of how crazy that is, that this piece of cardboard was behind this fire. It wasn't even touched by the fire, but it burst into flames from the fire itself. And I pray that as you go out into the world this week and into the world this year, that you be so filled with the Holy Spirit and so filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit that not only do people see it, not only do people feel the warmth, but they catch on fire for God. As you go out in this week, may you hear God's voice. May you follow him, and may you overflow with love for him. I love you guys. I'll see y'all next week.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that I